Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. It's the Title IX podcast on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. I'm Steph Copley, joined by Alisa Woods. Hey, Alisa.
Heyo.
We took a little break last week. I had a vacation, and now we're back. We're in the swing of things, and we're ready to roll.
I was going to say back and better than ever, but we're just back in average.
Yeah, don't give our listeners false advertising.
Back and averager than ever.
We're here. We're going to start out our podcast like we do every episode, and that is to thank our sponsors at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. We've mentioned the Ivy Women in Business Awards before. We've talked about them quite a bit, actually, and they just announced the winner of the Business Champion Award, and her name is Connie Weimer. She's a business and civic leader in the area who has served as owner and chair of the Business Publications Corporation, which publishes the Business Record, Catch DSM, all of those magazines that we see in the area. She's been doing it for 4 decades. Wow. And I was just thinking about how wild it is now for someone to hold a position with the same company for 4 decades. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah,
so
no kidding.
Kudos to you, Connie. We're proud of you. Keep being a women in business champion. We're proud of you. And we also need to shout out our sponsors of the entire network, the Mississippi River Distilling Company. I mentioned on our last episode, Alisa, that I was talking to someone who said they were going to do a whiskey lemonade for their signature drink at their wedding.
Oh, yeah.
My sister got married last weekend, and she did not do whiskey lemonade.
Oh, wow. Drink. Well,
so Cody Road.
Did she do one?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was a sangria, maybe. I had like a sip of it, and it felt like I had a sugar sweater on my teeth, so I couldn't drink anymore.
They did post, Mississippi River Distilling Company posted today, the Iowish cream in martini form.
I saw this
Instagram. It's the, I don't even know how to say that. Vinesse, V-I-E-N-N-E-S-E. I don't know, that sounds real fancy. Sounds real fancy for this Iowa girl. Martini from the Quad City Distillery.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that would be a good signature wedding drink too.
Yeah,
but basically what I'm saying is my sister Sam dropped the ball not serving Cody Road at her wedding.
You know what? She didn't drop the ball though.
Having you make her cake?
Well, I was gonna say having more Cyclone fans there than Hawkeye fans.
Yes. So
or at least Cyclones with deeper pockets.
Right. They did a basket where you threw in money, and at the end of the night, the basket, there was a Hawkeye basket, a Cyclone basket. The winner, the loser had to wear the opposing team's t-shirt on their honeymoon. So her new husband, Taylor, was sporting an Iowa State shirt down in Mexico. But Alisa also made her cake. She made delicious cupcakes that were devoured within minutes, and I ate 3 of them, and my mom got none of them. Sorry, Mom.
Next time I make some, I'll save some for your mom.
My girl said that next time we get treats from Alisa, we have to send some to Nana. So,
aww.
Yeah. Yeah. Really quick to go back to Mississippi River. I wanted to mention, be on the lookout for tickets to the Cyclone Fanatic Roadshow over there in LeClaire on August 25th. So got to get yourselves over to Mississippi River.
Why do we all of a sudden have like a really thick Southern accent?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Just excited to see you.
Excited.
All right. Speaking of baking, can we talk about the state fair really quick before we get into this? Tell us what you're doing. This is one of my favorite parts to talk to you about every year.
So every
it's
year,
different this year.
I know it is different. So like the past 8 years, I've done anywhere from like 10 to 40 entries. So I enter the baking and cooking contest at the fair that have like cash prizes.
Smart
and
woman.
Gift card prizes.
Money
and
bags.
Stuff like that. So they have a stipulation that if you like have a full-time licensed bakery, you can't do it. Or if you, you know, work for a full-time licensed bakery, which I do and I have, so I can no longer enter those contests. However, there are a couple professional ones that I can do. I entered the cake contests on Monday, like the decorated cake contests, and you actually just decorate a styrofoam cake dummy is what it's called. So I ended up with 2 first place and 2 second place.
Woo-hoo!
Out of the 4 that I brought. So that was awesome.
We're proud of you.
And if you want to see them, go to the Elwell building and check them out. And then I'm hosting a contest. I'm judging a contest on Thursday, hosting and judging a contest on the last Saturday. And then there is a professional gingerbread contest, gingerbread okay. house contest that I'm doing on Sunday.
I remember the very first time you and I met, you were just, I can't remember if you were just getting done with the fair or just revving up for the fair, but you were telling me about everything that goes into it, and it yeah. blew my mind.
It's pretty intense. And I have a friend, Lauren, who's doing a bunch of entries this year, and she keeps messaging me and she's like, should I have a cake board with scalloped edges? And I'm like, no, you probably shouldn't. Like, okay, should I do this? No, you probably shouldn't. Should I do this? No, you probably shouldn't.
Because you know all the ins and outs.
I do know all of the little tricks of the trade.
Yeah. Well, we're proud of you. Keep Thanks. Us updated as to what happens with your gingerbread house and the competitions you're hosting.
I will. Thank okay. you.
Good job, Elisa.
Thanks.
State fair time always marks the end of summer, which marks the beginning of fall, which means it's just about football season. So you know what we should talk about? Women's basketball.
I was going to say volleyball.
We have to lead off our women's basketball chat with what Stephanie Soares did over the weekend. So she is the 6'6 forward that we acquired. She's a transfer from an NAIA school. She played for her home country in Brazil over the weekend in the South America Women's Championship for the FIBA championship. And Brazil not only made it to the championship, but won over Argentina in a tight game. It was 69-68. And Brazil was down 3 in the second half, and Soares went on an 8-point run to put Brazil in the lead. And no big deal, but she also had 10 rebounds in the second half.
Wow.
So it's just good to see her playing well. And her best game of the tournament was in the semifinals against Venezuela. She had, I think, 15 points and 6 rebounds. So solid games out of her, solid minutes out of her.
And so is this the type of thing that she's now allowed to do because of NIL, or would she have been able to do this either way?
I think this is similar to when our players play in the like Team USA type of stuff,
okay.
the amateur stuff. So gotcha. I don't think it's NIL related, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay. Yeah. Just wondering.
Yeah, that's a good question. But either way, just kind of building the excitement for what's to come. And I guess we should mention some really disappointing news about what's to come this season. Paige Bueckers tore her ACL in her left knee. It was the same knee she injured last year that left her on the sidelines for much of the year. You know, this is a bummer. She's such a face of the game, and it's just to see someone with such a presence go down like that. And then, you know, after a year of, you know, not being able to play, just a real bummer. But I'm going to be that person and say it does open up some doors, because UConn lost 2 of their top scorers last year, and now they're without Bueckers in their lineup. So I looked, and that means they're out 52% of their scoring output. So you have one of the top 5 teams in the country who's going to be in some trouble. Now, they also have, I think, 2 of the top 5 incoming recruits. So it's not like they're hurting for talent, but right. you have their leaders gone.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see, that opens a door for teams like Iowa State. You know, obviously South Carolina is going to be in the mix again, but, and it also opens doors for players like Caitlin Clark, because Paige had been, I think her and Caitlin were kind of faces of the game for sure. But this opens up more opportunities for her to become even more of a face of the game. Obviously this is not what anyone wants to see happen, but it happened. And so it'll just be interesting to see how this plays out for the rest of the season, both on the court and off the court with NIL and just, you know, personality, opportunities out there.
I saw this video that, UConn athletics had done, and I think that they had probably done it I assume before she got injured, but it was the football team and they're like, hey, who's the best player on UConn? And they're like, I mean, it's Paige. Like there was no context.
Right.
Like, who's the best athlete at UConn? Like, who's the best player at UConn in any sport? Paige. And they're like, well, it's Paige. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, Paige, Paige, Paige. One guy is like, but if we're talking basketball, it's Paige. And my guess, and he like kind of laughed. And my guess is he was like, well, it's me. You know,
because there's always that guy that has to
he
say
just
it.
Seemed like that guy. Well, of course it's me, you know. He just seemed that's like great. Kind of a goofy guy, but he like, and he was kind of laughing, and I was like, I bet you made a joke that it's you before this, but they cut that part out. But yeah, he's like, but if we're talking basketball, like, it's Paige.
Yeah,
like there was no context to what sport or anything like that. It was
they just
like,
knew,
oh, it's Paige.
Yeah. Which makes it all the more devastating.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a bummer to see someone like that go down. And she was playing in a pickup game too. You know, it wasn't even like a high stakes situation, but it happens. It happens all the time. So
yeah,
we wish her a speedy recovery. She's good for the game. Her personality, the way she plays, all of it's good for the game. So hopefully we'll see her back next year.
It really reminds me too, like, of another high profile player that is always getting his ankles hurt, Steph Curry. So
and the parallels between those two are, I mean, we hear about him all the time.
Yeah, but I think that a lot of the stuff that he did to strengthen his ankles, and he's still getting injured often, and it's just those people like Anthony Davis, you just there's just people who get injured
are
often.
More prone.
Yeah. And once it happens once, it's going to happen a
lot
it
makes
more.
It does. I wondered, and I'm no doctor, but I wondered if her injury, I think she this is super layman's terms, but essentially like broke her part of her kneecap and she tore part of her meniscus. So, you know, I mean, the instability, even after repair, it makes you wonder if that had something to do with it.
Yeah, that sucks.
Such a bummer.
I mean, UConn probably has the best doctors for women's basketball that you could possibly money.
And if they don't, that's a damn shame.
Right, right.
But she already had surgery. I saw on Twitter pictures of her recovering. So, and if there's anyone in the world who can bounce back, it's going to be someone like her who works
that's
her tail
sure.
off.
Yeah. I mean, and I think about too, like Sabrina Ionescu got injured her rookie year in the WNBA and then came back and look at what she's doing now. Like we were talking about this before, like crushing it.
Can you, can you mention that stat that you had pulled up?
Yeah. So she is the first player, here it is. So she is the first player in WNBA history to reach 500 points, 200 rebounds, and 200 assists in a single season.
Crushing it.
That's insane.
It's insane.
Okay, but think about that too. Like, okay, 5, 2, and 2. So that's for every 10 points, she has 4 rebounds and 4 assists in every, like, for every 20 points. She has 10 rebounds. Am I doing this math correct? No.
I mean, you're asking a lawyer to do math, so.
5 for every 20 is 8. 8 points, or for every 20 points is 8 rebounds and 8 assists.
I wish you guys could see my face.
I know.
What?
So the 8 rebounds, like that kind of matches up, but 8 assists?
Yeah.
That's also
no, she's
like
a stud.
The assist number is really what's like standing out to me as super impressive.
And
consistent.
She was so highly touted coming into the WNBA. Then she gets injured. And then it's exactly like you said, everyone wonders what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I imagine Paige could do the same thing and even bigger numbers once she gets back. I hope.
I don't think any WNBA team is going to be afraid to take her based on.
That's a great way to put
her
it.
Injuries.
Yeah. Yeah. So more news in college women's basketball. Texas Tech, the Lady Red Raiders, signed a record name, image, likeness deal with the marketing agency Level 13. And so the terms of the deal are that each player on the team gets $25,000. And what I understand is that serves as the baseline. And then the marketing agency will then help the team, help individual players set up other NIL ventures. So the $25,000 is the floor. According to Front Office Sports, it's the largest of any kind. This deal is the largest of any kind for a women's basketball program. Now, I'm torn about this because, you know, if you listen to our podcast at all, that we are all in favor of supporting women's basketball players at the collegiate level, especially right now when this name, image, likeness thing is exploding. We're talking guys who are getting six figures, and there haven't been a ton of equitable NIL deals for teams so far. So in that sense, this is cool. My problem is giving every player this, you know, $25,000 each gets an equal cut. To me, that's not name, image, likeness. That is the pay for play that we've talked about over and over again. And that's just, that is always, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the school, regardless of the team, that is always going to rub me the wrong way. And until we start treating name, image, likeness as true name, image, likeness, and you're paying someone for, you know, their personality, going to speak on, showing up on a commercial, showing up at an event, I don't like the everyone gets an equal cut just for being a part of the team. That's my, I have a real issue with that. So, and that's kind of where I sit at it.
Tell me about what your issue is with it, because I'm kind of gray on that, because okay, I understand pay for play, but also like the work that they put in for the university, yes, I think is worth cash.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that. But if you're going to pay everyone an equal amount, like every player gets the equal share, to me, that's a salary. You're paying each of them a salary. It's a base salary. And at that point, they're employees. This isn't name, image, likeness.
But
I'm not even necessarily against that. I mean, I think that's probably where we're going to end up in the grand scheme of things.
You're just saying don't call it NIL.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha. Okay,
yeah,
I gotcha.
Because I don't think that is the appropriate label for it.
Yeah. Because I don't have a problem with them being on payroll.
Yeah. I mean, I have a problem with it in the sense that I think it opens up a million cans of worms. But
as did NIL.
Yes, exactly. But I think that they deserve more than what the scholarship they're getting paid amounts to. Yes. So you and I are on the same page there. I don't think this is the right label for it. And my concern is that if we don't figure out how to stop this soon, someone's going to file a lawsuit that says you're actually just treating these guys or women as employees. And that's going to be how this plays out. And I don't like that, only because if you handle it that way in terms of a lawsuit or litigation, then you can't, it's in the hands of the court. You can't plan. Whereas if you're actually going to start treating people, these players, like employees, then you can put some procedures in place. You can plan, you can get ahead of it. And so, but like similar to what the NCAA did with NIL, I don't think that's going to happen.
So is it 25K per year? Because I just saw just 25K.
Yeah, I guess I didn't see. My assumption was per season or, you know, something like that.
See, my assumption was for the entirety that they're at, that they're there and that they would get it upon graduation, which is kind of similar to something that we also have at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure on the details about that.
Maybe we can dig a little bit into that, because like once I think about that, it's like, okay, that's not unsimilar to what like our players are getting as they graduate. You know what I mean? Like that's $6,250 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that much.
No, no. And you're right. So I guess
just talking about that, I was like,
And I looked at several different articles about this, and it was very clear that the details are coming from the agency.
Yeah.
And no one at the time, so this just happened last week, and no one at that time had details on what this looks like. For example, do they sign a contract that says, you know, this has contingencies, you only receive this amount of money upon playing this many games or whatever. So I don't know. It's just this is the first of its kind for women's sports. There's been several of these for on the men's side of things. We've seen several football teams, you know, everybody in the defensive line room gets X amount of dollars, but this is the first one for women. So, and it won't be the last for sure.
Okay. So what I'm reading says earlier in the month, the Matador Club, the collective, basically like the collective that we have,
I read this too.
For Texas Tech said that it's going to sign all 100 members of the Texas Tech football team. 1 year, $25,000 NIL contract.
But that's a little different because that's a collective. This is a marketing agency.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing I have a question about. So these guys are the marketing agency. there's a weird line of, are these guys acting like they're agents?
Right.
But I don't, this, there's so much gray with NIL.
Yeah.
Anyway, something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, but it's
on,
not
absolutely.
Saying like whether it's, whether the women are getting a year or not.
Right. Yeah, I was very vague about that.
Texas Tech has a girl with hearing aids on the team, so I just automatically kind of love her, and I'm pumped.
Do you want to tell the story about it, or do you want to keep that private?
I don't know. I mean, we went to the game last year, and I can't remember if Rosa had just gotten her hearing aids,
yeah,
or if she was, we like knew that she was going to get, I think we just knew she was going to get them. And she was like, oh, that girl has hearing aids.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? She could see her all the way down on the court, had her little hearing aids. So I was like, yeah, wow.
It's one of those examples of representation matters. You know,
What is crazy too? Last Thursday, we were watching the, NFL preseason game, and the guys had their like IFBs in their ears.
Yeah.
And she's like, those two guys have hearing aids.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, I didn't want to like break her little heart and be like, no, they're not really that.
Just
but
let
I was
that one
like,
roll.
Yeah. But I was like, they're a little bit different. And I kind of explained how people can talk to them through it. And she's like, well, can you talk to me through mine? And I was like, well, here's the thing. I'm not really sure, because I didn't listen very well when we were at the audiologist. No, they said that it could, this is just off on a tangent, but they said that it could connect somehow to Bluetooth. So
yeah,
now that we have an appointment,
one of those.
We have an appointment coming up at the end of the month. And so I'm going to see if her hearing aids will connect to Bluetooth, so then I don't have to listen to the tablet anymore.
There you go. That's genius.
I know.
It's genius.
I know.
Well, we have another role model. So we have a Texas Tech role model for Rosa. We have another role model on Iowa State's basketball team. It's Maggie Espen-Miller McGraw. Mm. And she now is selling her headbands on the Cyclone Fanatic shop. So if you haven't purchased one already, make sure you get to the shop. Purchase one. If you have a neighbor girl that you see playing basketball in the driveway, or if you have a niece, or heck, if your son is a big women's basketball fan, just do it. I got one. I ran with it a couple Saturdays ago. Felt really cool.
I love it.
I was like, I'm representing Maggie and I'm very proud of it. So
is it like stretchy? Tell us about it. Does it tie in the back?
It's a tie in the back. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was... So I'm picky about my headbands, and I was a little nervous about it because I'm picky about them, and it was actually very effective. So it's not only fashionable, but it's also effective.
Good.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. And that was the first tie one I've had, and it didn't bother me. I thought it might.
Okay.
Yeah.
Headbands always fall off the top of my head. I don't know if I have a cone shaped head
you
or
do.
What.
I've been meaning to tell you.
Actually, I have like a bun, and when I just put my head down, it looked like I had a cone head.
Go ahead, Elisa. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a frustrating story to tell you before we go to break.
Okay.
It's frustrating, but I suppose you could look at it as encouraging at the same time. It just depends on whether you're a glass half full, half empty type of person, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is from our friend Steve Kemp, who sent us this article. It's from the AP. Eric Olson did some reporting on the NCAA's progress report from the equity recommendations that were made by that third party law firm after this disparity in the men's and women's basketball March Madness tournaments were surfaced a couple of years ago. So we talked about this, but the firm made 23 recommendations, and per the progress report, 9 of those have been adequately addressed so far. And the progress report was done by an anonymous third-party firm who's looking this over. So it's not the law firm that did the initial report. This is a separate third-party firm. Women's basketball leadership and men's basketball leadership rejected a few of the recommendations together. And one of those was a simultaneous Final Four in the same city. I think they did want some autonomy is what it sounded like. But this is the one that frustrates me. NCAA leadership decided against changing the D1 basketball administrative structure. You and I have talked about this. Right now, the vice president of women's basketball reports to the senior vice president of men's basketball. So just by the nature of the administrative hierarchy, women's basketball is underneath men's basketball. And frankly, even if that doesn't actually mean anything, I think it looks crappy.
Yeah.
And to me, that was one of those small changes that they could have made where maybe nothing in practice changes, but in symbolic terms and in just what it looks like on paper, it changes things a great deal. And I just am so, all of this is very off-putting to me. And that's just one of those examples of something that they could have done. It would have settled a lot of frustration from the outside looking in, and they chose not to. So that one, that's the frustrating part of it for me.
Yeah.
There are lots of areas in progress. I'm not going to read them all to you, but essentially they're working on the remainder of those recommendations. And then one big one that we've chatted about a lot, but it's important for us to keep an eye on, is whether the NCAA decides to pursue standalone rights for the women's tournament when their existing media and marketing contracts expire in 2024. Because
yeah.
Right now they're tied in with all of the other sports and are at a severe disadvantage. So that's
so that one's still quick. They're still waiting to talk about that one.
Yes. So okay. That one is not dead in the water. That one's still on the table.
Sweet.
So yeah, there's your silver lining.
Good and bad.
Yes. Okay. We're going to go to a quick break, but before we do that, we need to tell you about our friend Hope Wood. I was hoping to see Hope at the IndyCar race at the Iowa Speedway a few Saturdays ago, but it was 10 gazillion degrees outside and we didn't get a chance to run into each other, but Hope is a good egg. I've told you I've known her since law school. She's a very, very good person. And she does her will in a day program where obviously she creates your will in the course of a day. Super fast and easy, ridiculously easy. And Hope is a wonderful human to work with. Use the promotion Fanatic for $50 off the will in the day program and check her out at hopewoodjd.com. We are also brought to you by Authentic Brand. Authentic Brand is more than just your source for official Cyclone gear. With an amazing team of designers, Authentic Brand can custom manufacture polo shirts, jackets, caps, bags, and beyond for your team or small business. Check them out online at authentic-brand.com. Look authentic, feel authentic, be authentic. All right, Elisa, we need to talk about some breaking news that's near and dear to your heart.
Break it.
Serena Williams has announced that she's going to retire after the U.S. Open.
I think the way that she put it was that she's going to pursue some other activities or some other things that she likes more than that are more important to her.
Yeah, like being
right
a mom,
now,
she said, or spirituality.
Yeah.
And she broke this news. Was it on Vogue? They're in Vogue?
I think so.
So this gorgeous beast of a woman tennis player breaks her news about retiring in Vogue. Like
right.
Just there, it doesn't get more badass than
right.
That.
And she's on the cover.
Yes. Yeah, and it's a gorgeous cover. She's mm-hmm. in this gorgeous blue gown and her daughter is in the back holding the train and hiding. So if you haven't seen that, you should look it up. But I just thought it was so cool because she is one of the most powerful looking women on earth. She and is, but she's always kind of done her own thing with style. And I mean, of all the places to break the news, she broke it in Vogue. And
yeah.
I love it so much.
I think it's interesting. I actually saw a video of her today, like just kind of walking up to this tennis court where these guys were just playing. It was kind mm-hmm. of later at night and her and her husband were on a walk and they were just like, literally she's wearing like boots
mm-hmm.
and they're just kind of walking by and she's like, I think I might ask them if I can play the winner.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, and so they're kind of standing there and she's like, I think we've gotten God. I just heard my name. And so then she like walks up, she's like, hey guys, they're like, are you serious? Is that really you? Oh my gosh. And I think, I don't know if they ended up, she acted like she was going to play a game, but they didn't show any
mm-hmm.
of it. I think her husband was taping it on his phone and stuff. But like that was an interesting story in itself, but also like that video of her does not make her look quite as like, I don't know, like gigantic
yeah.
as some photos really make her like mm-hmm. a lot of the photos make her look larger than life. And she is just like a complete athletic
yes,
specimen.
For sure. Right.
But I think that like, especially on the cover of Vogue, we're so used to seeing such thin stick
yes.
thin people
yes.
that when somebody with an athletic body gets on there, it's like, she's huge. And it's like, okay, yeah. Like she does have like a bigger athletic body, but she's not abnormal. You know what I mean? She's just right. a freak athlete with she's those muscles that she does.
Complete freak athlete in the best way.
Yeah.
But that, I think that cover, she just looks stunning. Yeah. Like it is, yeah, it's breathtaking.
Yeah. I just think that that is a, that's a type of body that like a chunk of people can actually relate to. Not,
yeah,
not that a chunk of people are like the best athletes of all time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that like to see her in that video, I was like, okay, I think that more people can relate to her than maybe people seeing her on the cover mm-hmm. of Vogue well, can relate to her.
And to be fair, you know, you see someone, it's like when you see a baseball player in their uniform and yeah. then you see them in street clothes. Like it's a yeah. weird thing. Yeah. It's yeah. the same type of thing.
I yeah. agree with that.
I saw, because of course there was this discourse. There's this discourse every time something like this happens. There was arguments about, is she the greatest female athlete of all time? And then I saw someone say, she's just the greatest athlete of all time. And I was like, I don't hate that. She is in the conversation. There's no yeah. doubt. Her accolade. Alisa was talking about this before we started recording, and she was like, I was going to read her accolades, but people would probably just fall asleep because yeah. they're so long.
Yeah, they are. And it's just like, we get it. We know, like,
yeah,
she's won everything there is to win.
Yes. Like, multiple times.
They've named winning a lot after her, mm-hmm. like the Serena. Like,
yeah.
They've named, if you win a lot, then you're the Serena. Like, yeah. basically, you know what I mean? Like that she's just synonymous with winning.
Yes. Yeah. And domination too.
Yeah. Yeah. And at any given time too, that's the other thing is yes. that like she had a baby, came back and dominated, like got injured, came back and dominated, had down years, came back and dominated. Yep. It's like, she's had so many seasons in her life where she's been great. Any athlete has one season where they're great. And I'm not talking like, you know, 6 month season. I'm talking like a season of their lives.
Yes.
Like their early 20s. They're great. She's had so many seasons of her life. She's had this season of, you know, I'm a rookie in this area. I'm just coming into it. And I, you know, my first 4 years. And then, you know, she has her dominating years where people say, well, now she's in her prime, you know, that's another season. She has the season of her being, having a child and getting married and having a family. And, you know, that's a completely different season. We know, you and I know, like,
for sure,
it is a completely different life. Like, if I think about my life, I used to walk down to the YMCA every day before I had kids. Like, mm-hmm. I would exercise all the time before I had kids. I would make delicious meals
right.
before I had kids. You know what I mean? Like, I would look up 30 ingredient dinners just for a weeknight before I had kids.
Because you could.
Because I could. But you know, now that I have kids, I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to cook these dinners. I'm more excited to go to their t-ball games than I am to like be on a sand volleyball team. It's like things have changed now and my priorities are different. And that is not different with a professional athlete. Like they have their priorities change when they have a family, when they have kids. And I think that it's so much more unique for women as well.
Yes.
Because you've like, there are 9 months where you probably cannot push yourself. I know you cannot push yourself that far. I think, and I could be completely wrong, but I think she had a rough pregnancy. I think she was really sick. And I was really sick with both of my pregnancies. I was throwing up a lot. Like I had no desire to like train hard or anything like that. And 9 months off. And then, I mean, don't even talk about the couple months after you've had mm-hmm. kids, like it's a full year, mm-hmm. you know, to be out of a sport that you've played for your entire life. And if it wasn't something that you planned, it's just kind of a surprise.
And now, all of a sudden, that year of being pregnant in the aftermath, your body changes after yeah. having a child. You are not the same human anymore.
Yeah.
And so these habits that you've had for years that worked suddenly don't work anymore.
Right.
And I can't imagine, you know, it's hard enough to get the run in the morning for me. I can't imagine being a professional athlete and having to relearn a lot of what she had been doing before.
So, okay, this is what I was thinking. So she, after she had her baby, her daughter's name? Olympia?
It's something really pretty, like that. That's it.
Yeah, I think that that's something like that. But she like had serious complications after that. And like she was short of breath and all of that kind of stuff. And she went to the nurse. And okay, so this is a whole other podcast. And I'm not talking like another 45 minute episode. Mm-hmm. This is a completely other podcast. Because
this is a series.
Yeah, because the response that Black women in America get in the healthcare system, and especially pregnant Black women, the response that they get from many healthcare workers is abysmal, and the death rates are abysmal. And it, like, this is a fact that America needs to change. Yes, like we say about everything, there are amazing nurses, there are amazing doctors that know exactly what they're doing. But many times the thought is that either Black women can handle more pain or that Black women are overreacting. And like, these things are not true. That's not a scientific fact.
Right.
Either of those things are not a scientific fact. Those things are not true. And so she kind of talks about that she had an ultrasound and all this kind of stuff. And she, like, the doctors just kind of weren't listening to her. And she really had to like advocate for herself. And so, I don't know, there's a whole kind of story about a scare that she had, and like she was coughing frequently, and she coughed enough to cause her C-section wounds to rupture.
Oh my God.
Like, she had, I think, like, she was coughing up blood, she was bleeding, like she just had a lot of complications post pregnancy. And so like, that was one of the things that I remember hearing about her, that it was really, I think, like, changed. Like, that's what I think when I hear her say, like, there are things that are more important to me than tennis. I think that that happened when she had her daughter. And not because she had a child did those things change, but because of the experience of having the child.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, she's one of those women that, you know, there are just certain athletes. We talked about this with Sue Bird, who's on the cusp of retiring as well. She's one of those athletes that you grow up with, and then in your mind, you think they're never going to retire. They're going to be around forever. And she's retiring, and it's just really strange to wrap your mind around, and it's going to be very strange without her. But she has transcended popularity of just tennis and has become one of the most recognizable and popular and famous athletes, not just women, but men, all athletes of all time. And so it's happy for her, for sure. And for her to pursue the other interests that she's indicated, but that's a big loss.
It is. And I remember, like, I remember when she started playing. I remember when Venus started playing, and I was like, whoa, she's good.
Yes.
And then Serena came along, and I was like, what is happening? There's two of them.
Yeah.
And just like watching them play, there was a spark that I hadn't seen in, you know, who was playing before them? Like, Steffi Graf was playing before them. And I enjoyed watching tennis, but it was like, it was must see TV, you know, when they started to play, when they were playing doubles.
Right.
Oh, some of those games that they played doubles, like, that was awesome to watch.
I mean, it was just a different level of superstar. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that they opened the door and showed girls like Naomi and Coco, that it was like, that there was a place for them.
Absolutely.
And that's like, that's the legacy that Venus and Serena are going to leave. And I think they both, Naomi and Coco, have said that. I know Coco played against Venus and beat her and was like, I am so sorry, you know. And Venus was like, don't be sorry, you know. And I remember watching Coco beat Serena too, and just being like, and everyone just wanted to talk to Serena, and Serena's like, no, I didn't win this,
right?
I didn't win this match, like Coco won this match, talk to Coco. But I don't know, they carry themselves like the leaders that they are.
Yes.
And I think that she's going to lead in so many different ways.
I think so
now.
Too.
And it's same thing with like Sue Bird. Like, I'm so excited to see the ways that Sue starts to lead.
So I want to talk about that a little bit, because she just played her last home game in Seattle over the weekend. It was a sold out arena. She was wearing these special sneakers that had a happy retirement banner on the back of them. They were cool shoes. You should check them out. The mayor proclaimed August 7th as Sue Bird Day. So she's getting the celebration she absolutely deserves. But the question that you just raised, Elisa, is, you know, what do you do after basketball, or for Serena, what do you do after tennis? Well, Sue Bird has just signed on to become a minority investor in the National Women's Soccer League, the New Jersey, New York, Gotham Football Club. And she's going to act as a consultant and advisor to boost the club's profile in local, national, and international markets. Now, the cool thing is she's joining this really amazing ownership group. It's got Carly Lloyd on the team, Kevin Durant, Eli Manning. The funny part about this is that this is a competitor to her fiance, Megan Rapinoe's team, who plays for the Reign. So, dear honey, I'm going to purchase a minority interest in a team that you compete against. Love, Sue.
Like, I love it. Good. I think it's so, like, and that's the competitive spirit too, yes, that I feel like they have in their household. Like, that's so funny.
For sure. And the so someone asked Sue about it. She, you know, what did Megan say? And she said it was in conversation that Megan said, yeah, that sounds amazing. And I just was like, of course she did, because of course she's gonna go say, now I'm gonna kick your ass.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's just, it's really neat to see this era of athletes that we grew up with who are now in retirement age. And there's a big chunk of them that in the next few years are going to retire.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see them buying into sports that are growing, giving back to the sports that they grew up in, and just being a part of the conversation, a part of the scene.
Yeah. And I think about like greats from when we were young and the teams that they purchased, like even just Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Becoming, was it the Wizards,
you know,
and just thinking about like all of these male players that purchased, and like, I know who they are and what team that they owned or own, you know, and it's like, now the women are starting to get into it, and they're starting to get into it because they have, first of all, they have the money to do it, because they're starting to make a little bit more. But it just shows you that like women's sports and women athletes are not that far behind.
Well, and they're being smart about what they're investing in. You're seeing a lot of athletes, and, you know, actors and media and names that are big in the media purchasing, buying into women's soccer.
Yeah.
And that's one we keep seeing over and over again. And what's crazy is we always talk about viewership numbers. So here's an example. So last week, the Euros tournament, the European Women's Championship, which is kind of the regional tournament over in that part of the world, in advance of the World Cup that finished last week. So the championship game was between England and Germany. They had a peak viewership of 17.4 million viewers in England for that game. In the 2019 World Cup game between England and the United States, it was a peak of 11.7 million. And this, the Euros tournament, it's a big deal, but it's not World Cup big deal. So we're talking a growth of 6 million viewers in just a couple of years, just like that, overnight. And that was also, that was just viewers on TV. And that also fails to mention that they played in front of a crowd of 87,000 people, which is the biggest ever attendance for a European championship match, men's or women's. It is growing at an insane rate. Just insane.
So it said that a third of the entire UK population watched the championship game.
That is awesome. That is
23.3 million, a third of the entire UK population.
And then right on the heels of that, the U.S. women's national team says they're going to play England, assuming England qualifies for the Olympics, which they will. But assuming they qualify, they're going to play England in England in October. And the match sold out faster than any women's soccer match in history. So they're wow. going to play in front of 90,000 fans in October.
Whoa.
Yes. Yeah. And the U.S. women's soccer team, by the way, just won the CONCACAF tournament, which is kind of the equivalent, our equivalent of the Euros. So they're in the Olympics now. That was their Olympic qualifier. They're the second nation to earn the berth to the Olympics in 24, which I think is in Paris. So they're in. They're in the World Cup. They're in the Olympics. It's going to be a fun few years for women's soccer.
You know what I just thought about, kind of going back to Subert investing and watching a lot of these women invest? Like, there are players who bet on the games, and then there are players who invest in the teams. You know what I mean? Like, in the world full of sports betting, I want to be a sports investor.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's a good one, Elisa.
I know.
I'm really proud of you for that.
Thank you. I've just been sitting here thinking about that.
We should do something with that. Mike, okay. Can you make us a t-shirt?
Mike,
are you listening?
I mean, I feel like we need a shirt anyway.
Yes.
Remember how
should.
Stans and Fitz had their like
their 20 shirt. They're like political party shirt.
I feel like
and
we need a
Football
shirt.
And Random Things has one. It's time for Title IX to get a shirt.
Yeah. It's time for us to get a shirt.
In a world full of sports bettors, be a sports investor.
Even if it's just the two of us. Well, no, I want a cooler one. Maybe we should have a whole line.
Okay, this is gonna be fun.
Okay.
Okay, we'll brainstorm. If you have ideas for us, slide into our DMs.
When I first went to college and I started in sport management or not in sport management, when I started in fashion design.
She can't even remember. She's so old.
I know I am so old. I started in fashion design and I thought that I might like design jerseys and stuff.
Like the Anna Florzaks of the world who are climbing their way up Nike.
But then I just switched to sport management. And
now
like,
you're designing cakes.
Yeah. And now I'm wearing a fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la shirt.
Is that a Christmas shirt?
Oh, yeah. This is fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la over Santa.
Oh, you're double the Christmas shirts
today. And I have a Santa t-shirt on. I know. I have a lot of Christmas shirts and they all are just comfortable.
Well, it's Christmas in August, I guess.
Yeah, I don't really care. Look at me. Look at me. Go ahead. Look at me if you want to.
This is another reason we need a Title IX shirt so you don't have to wear Christmas shirts
in August.
Just
look at me. Look at me if you're looking so hard.
I have nothing else to say. Do you have anything else to say?
I'm sure I do.
Hey, it's 1 month till college football.
What episode is this? Did you already say
this? 78.
What are we going to do for 100?
I have throw a big old party.
I thought we said for our 100th episode, we were going to finally have a man on, but we've had men. Oh, I guess we don't want to wait that long. Guys, I think we're going to have some cool guests on soon.
Like really cool.
Really cool.
Like really, really cool.
Like so cool. Like what if that one maybe cool. What if he's listening right now?
He better. He said he would.
I know. Hey. I need a paper bag.
Just breathe into your Christmas shirt. You'll
be fine. Jared, can you edit this so I sound cool?
Good luck with that, Jer Bear.
It's going to be rough. Anyway, we could have some really cool guests coming
up. Yeah, so stay tuned. It's going to be a fun fall.
Yeah.
All right. 1 month till football. Go Cyclones.
Go State.